Second Samuel 12. 2 verse 1. Lord sent Nathan to David. When he came to him, he said, there were two men in a certain town, one rich and the other poor. The rich man had a very large number of sheep and cattle, but the poor man had nothing except one little ewe lamb he had bought. He raised it, and it grew up with him and his children. He shared his food, drank from his cup, and even slept in his arms. It was like a daughter to him. Now a traveler came to the rich man, but the rich man refrained from taking one of his own sheep or cattle to prepare a meal for the traveler who had come to him. Instead, he took the ewe lamb and that belonged to the poor man and prepared for the one who had come to him. David burned with anger against the man and said to Nathan, as surely as the Lord lives, the man who did this must die. He must pay for that lamb four times over because he did such a thing and had no pity. Please be seated. Thank you, worship team. We had a very good lunch, as Janice said last Sunday. I think we should find more excuses to have lunch together. So the next one coming up is free. It's the AMM. So AMM is not a shareholder meeting. I mean, we are in a secular world. We have to follow some secular rules, procedures, and we need to have an AMM meeting each year. But I never see it as a shareholders meeting. It is a family gathering, that the whole family gather together. We share God's blessings from last year, and then we look forward. So I hope that you can all come. And after that, we'll find another excuse or occasion to celebrate and have lunch together. Everybody seems to enjoy being together. We are quickly blessed as Chinese. We can celebrate two New Year. So last night, Cynthia's mom from her side, then we have a dinner together, two tables. And it is good to be able to celebrate together. But each year, I think at this time, we all want to make some changes to our life, isn't it? In the coming year, I don't know about you. I always, in the beginning of the year, then I want to make a promise to the Lord, to myself. So this year, I make a promise. I'm going to read at least 10 books, because we as pastors, we actually have a reading budget. So we are encouraged to read. So when I was in engineering, we have also a budget from the company to take courses. The company wants us to take courses to improve our skill. So this year I plan to read 10 books. I want to lead 10 people to Christ. So I have many plans. But by the end of the year, I think you all share my feeling that we don't normally can meet our goal that we set in the beginning. But our life, we want to have a renewal, isn't it? I don't know how many of you here said that, Pastor Norman, I'm very satisfied with my life now. I don't need any more improvement. I want to talk to you about it. But we all want to improve, want to renew. Like our car insurance, right? We have to renew every year. Our passport, we have to renew every so many years. Our life, we also have to renew. Some of us here are new Christians. They are probably still burning with fire from the very first, the most important renewal in his or her life, that when they accepted Christ it's a complete renewal. And for some of us here, we've been a Christian for a longer time, 20 years, I think that's long. I know some of you have been Christian for 30, 40, 50 years. I don't want to ask you to raise up your hands. It's been a long time. But it's a life just the same. When I was still working as an engineer, sometimes I had to look at some resumes when people look for work. And then the person reviewing the resume with me said, wow, this person has 30 years of experience. In our industry, in mining, it's hard to find experienced people because most people don't want to go into mining. They think that it's not a very environmental clean business. That is absolutely not true. So I said that, no, this person doesn't have 30 years of experience. He has 2 years of experience times 15 times. So he's just doing the same thing over and over and over again. Our life needs to be renewed, not just doing the same thing over and over again. Then we think that we are a mature Christian, but we are not. But renewal, how do we get renewal? Our church needs to be renewed, isn't it? We are 60 years old, our church. But I hope that we are not just staying 60 years ago the same. We got to renew, continue. And the Bible tells us that renewal comes from repentance. Just like the first time when we renew our life from a non-Christian to a born-again Christian, we repent. And if we want to be continually to grow, to renew, and we have to be repentful each day. Repent meaning renewed, to make new, to restore to freshness, to turn away, to go back. Church nowadays doesn't like to talk about repentance. We want to talk about love, joy, peace. The person who has stopped repenting has stopped growing. How often do we repent? Go down here. 3:19. Therefore, repent and return. Repent meaning return. Go back to God. We have to turn back, turn away. This morning, we're going to look at chapter 12 of 2 Samuel. But before that, chapter 11, King David has committed great crime, great sin, adultery, murder. A story that I think we are all very familiar with, even starting from children's Sunday school. Chapter 11 talks about David. When he was slowly settling down, being comfortable, complacent, and then he walked around one day, he doesn't have to go to war anymore. He just sent his deputies, army soldiers to go and fight. And then he walked around in Jerusalem, chapter 11, verse 1. David stays behind while all his followers go to fight for him. He just walked around in Jerusalem, nothing to do. One evening, he walks on the roof of his palace, and then he sees Bathsheba, probably a beautiful woman, the wife of Uriah, one of his soldier commanders, bathing. He desires her and sends messengers to bring her to him. They have an affair, and she becomes pregnant. So David committed adultery with the wife of one of his followers, faithful followers. Not only that, he tried to cover up his sin and then set up a trap to kill, to have Bathsheba's husband killed in the battlefield. This is great crime, And the Lord was mad with him. So chapter 12, today we're going to look at how David turned around, repent. Chapter 12 also talk about not only repentance. I'm sure we have read this chapter before, chapter 11, about the repentance of David. But it's more than just repentance. It's also about God's grace. So chapter 12, one of David's advisor, Nathan, came to see David. And it's over at least a year now after that crime was committed. And David probably has not coming to the Lord for a long time. He's probably comfortable with where he was. And then the Lord sent Nathan, one of David's advisors, and he came to him and start telling him a story. Nowadays, many counseling service, training counselor, they use this strategy as the counseling techniques. So Nathan came to David, but he did not scold him right away, you know, even though it's after a year now, probably David probably slowly forget, he won't forget, you know, but he probably has put this behind him. So Nathan went to David and start telling him a story. There were two men in one city, a rich man and a poor man. The rich man had a great many flocks and herds. So David listening to the story, and the poor man had nothing except a small lamb, which he bought and nourished, and he grew up together with him and his children. It would eat of his bread and drink of his cup and lie in his bosom as was like a daughter to him. Now Nathan is probably a very wise person, very smart, probably he'd be a good counselor today. And it's kind of a bit tricky here, it's setting up a trap here. The Hebrew word for daughter is Bath, which is the part of the name of Bathsheba. Bathsheba. So he's kind of a bit tricky here. So he used the word, this lamb is like a daughter, like Bathsheba. But David wasn't that smart at that time. He didn't get the hint. He did not get the hint of Bath. You see? Bath, right? Bath, Bathsheba. Right? So this lamb is Bathsheba. But David did not get the hint. So he continued. So Nathan continued to tell the story. Now a traveler came to the rich man, and he was unwilling to take from his own flock, where he has so many sheep, cattle. But a traveler came, but he did not want to take any from his own possessions to prepare, so he had to prepare a meal. So rather, he took the poor man's only lamb and prepared for the traveler who had come to him. Isn't this terrible, right? This poor guy only had one lamb, and then this rich man took his lamb, only lamb, like a daughter, Bath. I was saying that it's like Uriah, only had one wife. And you, David, the rich man, has so many wives. And then you have to take someone else's wife. Isn't that terrible? Well, he didn't say it that way, right? But he's making up a story. And David, not exactly very smart at that moment, right? He didn't know that Nathan was talking about him, and he was really mad. It's kind of a bit naive at this time. And David becomes really mad and said that as the Lord lives, suddenly he starts calling up the Lord. Probably haven't done that for 1 or 2 years after he committed the great crime. Suddenly he starts calling to the Lord, punish this guy. Right? This guy should deserve to die. My goodness, he's really mad. And then he should pay him back 4 times. This guy has no compassion. He was mad at David. Obviously, he didn't know that Nathan was setting up this trap for him. But sometimes, aren't we all like that? When we sit in the service, the worship, we listen to the sermons. Oh, this morning, the pastor is talking about crimes, or sins, not crime, sins, about jealousy, about being greedy, bad temper. Yes, he's talking about my spouse. My spouse is like that. Stephen is always like that. Or Janice is always like that. Lack of love. Or Christians like that. So that I like the sermon because he's talking about my husband next to me or my brother. He's always taking away my toys. The pastor is a good sermon. He's talking about my parents. He's no unloving. Doesn't give me any freedom. We always like, when we listen to a sermon, we always listen to it for the other people. Isn't it? My spouse, my parents, my children, my friend, my colleagues. Very seldom we say that, oh, Pastor Norman is talking about me. I feel bad. We always see the dust in other people's eyes, but not the plank in our eyes. We like to listen sermon for other people. When he says that good sermon, once in a while people come to him and say, the Pastor Norman, it was a good sermon. Please continue to do that. All pastors like to hear that. It's an encouragement. And then sometimes I like to hold the person's leg and say, why is it a good sermon? Oh, okay, why is it a good sermon? Okay, it's a good illustration there. It's a relevant, you know, it's a, interesting. And then I continue to ask, why is it a good sermon to you? Said, what do you mean? It's only a good sermon if that sermon has an impact on you, not the one sitting next to you, or not the one at home. Judah, look at the next line. And Nathan said to David, you are the man. He's talking about you. I am talking about you. Oh, that's terrible, David said. He must feel really bad at the moment. So you are talking about me, this story. I am that rich man, that horrible man that deserved to die. That man, the person had to pay back fourfold. In fact, history tells us that David did pay back four times. The story is about you. Judah heard all Christ's sermons. We hear at least 52 sermons a year if you come to worship every week. 52 sermons. So we add up 10 years, 500 sermons. Judah heard all, maybe not all, maybe sometimes he fell asleep, most of Christ's sermons. And look what happened to him. It's not a good sermon to you unless the sermon has an impact to you. Unless you feel that the sermon is talking about you. When I prepare a sermon, I prepare a sermon for myself. So the sermon is always about me. My sermon is always talking about myself. I have to preach to myself first before I can share that with you. So everyone, my sermon, I don't have any of you in mind, so don't worry about that. So, oh God, he's talking about me again, Pastor Norman. Every week, he's talking about me. Amen. If you feel that every week I'm talking about you, amen. Because every one of it is talking about myself. And the Lord is mad. I also give you your master's house and your master's wife into your care. And I gave you the house of Israel. You have so many wives, and you have Israel. You're the king of Israel and Judah. And if that had been too little, obviously it's not too little. If, a big if, I would have added to you many more things like this. You just ask, I'll even give you more blessings. Why do you have to steal? Why do you have to commit adultery? Why do you have to commit murder? Why have you despised the word of the Lord by doing evil in his sight? This is the biggest sin that David has committed. He despised the Lord's word. He knows that God will be mad about what he was doing. And sometimes we are like David. We know a lot about the Bible since when we were in children's Sunday school, Awana, youth fellowship, teens fellowship. We learn about this even before we come up here and sit in the worship service. We know a lot of things. We know, but we still go against God because we despise. This is the biggest sin. We despise God's teaching. We despise God. This chapter is not only talking about repentance, and then we know that David repented afterwards, but it's also the main thing is to talk about the grace of God. David has committed great crime, big sin, but yet God's love is always there. He was forgiven and forgiven again. Just like us, we may have fallen, we may have despised God's word, we may have committed sins that we think the Lord will never forgive us, but no. If we're willing to repent, to turn back, to go back, grace, God's grace is quicker than we can absorb. God is grace. But there's punishment, severe punishment that match our sin. Now, therefore, the sword shall never depart from your house, because you have despised me and have taken the wife of Uriah to be your wife. Behold, I will raise up evil against you from your own household. You can, if you know the history that follow, all this will be fulfilled. I will even take your wives before your eyes and give them to your companion, and he will lie with your wives in broad day night. Indeed, you did it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and under the sun. And we know that David suffered a lot, not only from outside, but from his own family. His son Amnon was killed by his half-brother Absalom because Amnon raped his half-sister Tamar. Absalom, David's third son, born to him through Maacah, and he rebelled against David. We'll study that next time. Going after David, even tried to kill his father. Adonijah, David's fourth son, is also, because of rebellion, also been executed. Four sons, including the baby that was born by Bathsheba. Four times, fourfold, he was punished. Even though God's grace is great, he'll forgive our sin, but we still have to pay the price of our sin. We need to repent, but God will forgive us, but God's punishment will always come. So think twice We know that something is wrong that we should not be doing. Sin is more than just not to do things that we are not supposed to do. Sin is also if we do not do things we are supposed to do. We are supposed to worship God, and we don't. We are supposed to follow Him, we do not. It's also a sin. Not only that, to do things that we are not supposed to do, like adultery. David did not make any more excuses. He did not argue or fight back. David said, I have sinned against the Lord. He did not make any more excuses. He just bowed down before the Lord and asked for forgiveness. You may think that this is easy for him. He only said one thing in the whole chapter 12 here. That's all he said. I have sinned against the Lord. But if you read Psalm 51, right, it's a psalm, how many verses? Psalm 51, 19 verses. This whole psalm was written after David committed adultery. Psalm 51 is about David's repentance. He felt sorry. He knew that he did things wrong. Psalm 51, against you only, I have sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified when you speak and blameless when you judge. My eyesight is not very good now. I have trouble in actually meeting the screen. A schoolgirl was saved, and the teacher asked her, what were you before you were saved? But the little girl said, before I was saved, I was a sinner. And the teacher asked her, what are you now that you have accepted Christ? So the girl said, I am a sinner. So the teacher asked the little girl, so what's the difference? Before you were saved, you are a sinner. After you were saved, you are still a sinner. So the girl said, I was a sinner. Before that, I was a sinner running, going after sin. But now, I am a sinner running away from sin. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. Oh God, you will not despise. Psalm 51. The whole Psalm 51 is about David's repentance. So I encourage you this afternoon or sometime, go and read 51 and share David's heart and how much sorrow he felt deep inside him after he was confronted by Nathan. Today, are you in a good relationship with God? Have you committed sins again? Have you sinned against God? Have you despised Him? Things that you know you should be doing for Him, but you just ignored. You despised Him. You continue to live the way that you want to live. And then you were wondering, how come my life is not renewed? You want a renewal. Renewal comes from repentance. You have to realize that you have done something wrong, like David here. Oh, I have sinned against the Lord. You have to realize that you have done something wrong. You have to have a feeling of remorse about your sin, like what David did in Psalm 51. Then, you don't just stop there. Otherwise, you just go back again and again and again. I just feel bad about my sin. Then you go into depression because I just feel so bad about myself. And then you have to renounce your sin and turn away from it. Then you'll be restored. Like David, God's grace is more than you can absorb, you can handle. God's grace is good. You will be restored when repentance takes praise. But today, churches do not like to talk about repentance. It's not a good word. I I saw an interview on YouTube one time. They interviewed this pastor of a mega church in the U.S. And then they asked, how come you always talk about subjects that, sermon topics that cheer people up? He said that people are already enough burden in their life from Monday to Saturday. Right? So when they come to church, I want to give them a message that make them feel happy, cheerful. Yes, I want to cheer you up as well, but you cannot be cheered up unless you are renewed, unless you are restored, unless you repented. I consider that the chief dangers was written by William Booth 100 years ago, a century ago. I consider that the chief dangers which confront the coming century, that's today. So he's making a prophecy 100 years ago. Today will be religion without the Holy Ghost, without the Holy Spirit. Christianity without Christ. Forgiveness without repentance. We're going to talk about God's love, forgiveness. He loves you. But we don't want to upset people saying that you have to repent. They're not going to come here again. I hope that I won't offend some of you. Talk about me again, telling me to repent, making me feel bad. I'm not going to come again. I like to hear about forgiveness, but not repentance. Salvation. But I don't want to hear about regeneration. What do you mean I have to regenerate? I have to change? Politics without God and heaven without hell. Don't talk about hell. Scare people. We like to talk about how beautiful heaven is, but don't tell about hell. That the one in your family is going to go to hell. That's not a nice thing to say if you don't share the gospel with them. Isn't it? We don't like to scare people that if you don't believe in Christ, you go to eternal death. That's a terrible thing to say. William Booth said this a century ago. And Nathan said to David, the Lord also has put away your sin. You shall not die. You are forgiven. David wrote in Psalm 51, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. God will give us, God will restore us, give us renewal. He will give us a new heart. He will give us a renewed spirit. Isn't that what you want? Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Isn't that what you needed this morning? I can tell you an interesting story to make everybody just laugh. And very happy, everybody happily go away, but then you still cannot find true joy. Well, you need a new heart, a new spirit, a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence. You need to be in God's presence. And do not take your Holy Spirit from me. You need to be filled by the Spirit, empowered by the Spirit. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. This joy is not just happy, happy, happy. Just some nice word that you want to hear, a funny story that you will hear. But it's the joy of your salvation. And sustain me with a willing spirit. It's what David is praying for. And I'm sure this is all we are praying for this morning. Repentance is, as we know, is basically not just mourning and remorse, but it's turning and change. Some often repent, yet never reformed. It's like us walking, driving too fast. Oh, I'm doing 120 miles per hour. Right? Oh, it's too fast on the highway. Okay, I stop, pause, and then I speed again. Right? who frequently starts and stops but never turns back. This is the wrong way. The Lord keeps telling me, this is the wrong way. Okay, I stop, I pause, I pray, I repent, and then I continue to go. It's not what David did. First Kings 15:5. For David had done what was right in the eyes of the Lord and had not failed to keep any of the Lord's commands all the days of his life, except, there's a footnote here, except in the case of Uriah, that's Bathsheba's husband, except that one incident. That means he truly repented. The Bible is very honest. It recorded that incident, and then it also recorded that after that, David had not failed to keep any of the Lord's commands for the rest of his life. Today, you come to the Lord, you may have done something wrong. Wait. You have committed great sins, or sins you just continue to commit. But if you repent, turn away, God's grace is sufficient for you. And you have to be like David, that you will never do it again. That for all the rest of your life, you will keep the Lord's commands all the days of your life, except that incident that you asked for God's forgiveness and you repented last night. And from this morning on, it's a sincere repentance. Sincere repentance is continual. Believers repent until their dying day, until we see our Lord. We have to continue each day to repent, renew, restore. But hopefully, we are not repenting on the same sin every day. We need to turn around. Let's pray. Father God, help all of us, including myself, that we will repent. You send Nathan to us, be it our pastor, the preacher on YouTube, the sermon on YouTube, our counselors, our parents even, our spouse. You have sent Nathan to us to remind us, let us repent and return so that we can be restored and renewed. We pray in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.